Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming to you live from Alola's Battle Royale Dome, it's the one, the only Puckle Battlecast.
Hello and welcome to episode 30 of the Battlecast. I am your host, as always, Seth Vilo, here today with two giant brains. They're always giant brains. I think I need to branch out from my expression or else I'm showing that my brain is not that giant. So, as you can hear from the laughing, we've got P. McGee, a regular here.
Hello, hello.
And crawling from the depths of the sea, we have the free whale himself, Dr. Shamu. It's been a while since you've been on, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think the last time was when early Sun and Moon, and then not Sun and Moon, early Sword and Shield. Same difference.
I mean, it might have been Sun and Moon at this rate.
Yeah, no. I just remember the Colossal talk, and then look where Colossal is now, actually doing things.
That's right. That's the last time you were on here.
Good old Colossal.
Yeah, and now it can actually be used some places now that people have figured it out. So, how far we have come now that it's in a good place, in a good home. But yeah, what have you guys, as far as like battling or whatever, online, whatever kind of things, that can be Smogon, it can be anything to do with the video game. What have you guys been up to? How about you, McGee?
So as you know, I've been very active in my first season of Draft League. For those that don't know, I beat Seth, and as part of that stipulation, I now am the owner of Battlecast, but we're letting him keep it for now while I pursue Lenian's game corner.
Out of the goodness of his heart.
But other than Draft League, I've been doing a bunch of different stuff lately, mostly VGC, because that's interesting, and they're doing some really interesting things coming up with the bans for those 16 mons, so figuring out
that
a new meta
weird.
Is always fun.
That's a cool decision, but really weird.
It's really weird because like everything you're used to seeing, like in almost every team I've ever made has at least like two to three of those on their team. So to like have to restart and figure out the game like brand new, which it's fine because like we're only a few months away from Crown Tundra and it's no big deal, but it's really interesting to try to have to like restart a meta and figure out what works and what doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's hilarious. And I'm looking forward to Crown Tundra and whatever it brings to this madness. It'll be a great time.
It will.
How about you, Shamu? What have you been up to?
Again, doing PDL, running with the good old meme team.
You just got Wooloo, right? That was most recent acquisition?
You dropped
a Slowbro for a Wooloo?
No, we also got a Slowbro. We dropped the Rotom Heat. We dropped the Heat for the Wooloo.
That's right.
We dropped one source of heat for another. Like, it's fine. It's still fire. We got that. It's really only been, like, PDL and then, like, Summer League wrapped up, so BSS. Like, I have not touched, like, Smogon stuff in forever. It's kind of like, can't do it on cart. There's no reason to learn it, really, because that's...
Yeah.
That's my main thing. Like, if we had to do that on cart, I would be playing OU a lot more, but...
Yeah. It does kind of make you feel a little bit bad.
Because
it almost feels like two entirely different games with the same pictures, you know?
Yeah, no, I obviously prefer OU. It's just what, like, I'd rather play it on card. That's just, not, I don't want to learn two meta for only use one.
Exactly.
I'd rather just use one and learn, like, yeah, it's bittersweet.
Mm-hmm, for sure. It does make this weird fun thing that is the BSS, but nah,
yeah,
I'm with you. I like OU. I don't like 20-minute timers. But here we are. So yeah, that's kind of a little bit of what we've been up to. So we're just going to jump right into it. There's been some tier things happening, not a whole lot this month, so it will be a little shorter, but we are going to jump from here into tier time.
It's tier time.
And welcome back to tier time. We are going to start in the most boring place, like every time almost, and that is with Ubers. In the spirit of Ubers, not a lot has changed. People have discovered the sun, I guess. And
that's why we can see. Yeah.
And the biggest thing behind this that really prompted this was people figuring out that G-Max Charizard with the wildfire, that's the thing that, you know, does the fire spin like damage behind
wildfire,
it.
Wildfire, whatever.
Yeah, wildfire. G-Max wildfire. With that, it can basically two-hit KO all the special walls. Like, I'm looking at two calculations here, and without a boosting item, so I presume they're probably just walking in with boots on, this Charizard is, but with solar power, sun, and this fire-boosted move, it has a 98% chance to two-hit KO Chansey just in the sun, which is stupid.
Yeah.
And a 60, like a two-third chance to two-hit KO Toxapex after it recovers Black Sludge damage. So, I mean, that's stupid. That's just crazy.
And even then, that's timid, it looks like. You know, you'd always want to run timid, but, like, if you wanted to swap to modest, like, I'm pretty sure that would kill the Chansey two-hit. That would guarantee the two-hit KO for that.
Mm-hmm. Or even just go for blood and switch to a life orb, yeah. Or like specs, even.
Well, specs wouldn't work as G-Max.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
So you'd do life orb. Yeah. But, yeah, like, you could. There's a couple little tweaks here and there you can do to make those a bit more guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Even maybe a 10% fire boosting item like charcoal.
Yeah, you can slap charcoal on. That would probably guarantee the Chansey.
And he's got Scorching Sands now, so he's got max Quake.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Fun. Gosh. Charizard comes for yet another meta.
Fun in the sun. Charizard's just being silly. But yeah, for overall, that's really the only big change that's happened in the last month. Not a lot of people are doing Ubers yet because there just aren't a lot of Ubers to pick from.
Soon.
Give it a couple months. If that like third week of October leak is correct, then we don't have too much longer. So we'll find out. So transitioning from there to OU, the Magearna ban happened. So
surprise.
I know. That's not too much of a shock. And the surprise actually came from the fact that Cinderace was banned at the same time without a suspect test. It was just quick banned at the exact same time as Magearna. But they did promise that it will come back for a retest, but they wanted to do the quick ban thing because, you know, with DLC, you only have a certain amount of time. They knew that was an issue from tournament use, from the surveys they've put out to people who are playing. They knew that was the next thing, and they knew it was likely going to get banned, so they're finally kind of taking the approach of why waste the time, which, you know, there's mixed feelings about, but I prefer this to Gen 7, where they just didn't.
Yeah.
So, nothing got banned? Yeah.
Yeah. Bonkers things that should have a long time ago, like Kartana, were still there, so...
Yeah, I'm sad Elmer Fudd came to town. He took my bunnies away. I was really sad about Cinderace just because he's such a core on my team, but I get it. I get Magearna. I voted for Magearna to stay, but I knew it didn't matter. But I'm sad Cinderace is gone. I figure he'll be back at some point or another. I feel like they could... Do they ban abilities sometimes? Like, would they ban Libero and Call of Good?
No,
they would not.
I think there was one... No, the baton pass, that was the complex ban they did. It was like, oh, you can do that, but you can't pass stats, and then they just got rid of it in the long run.
Yeah.
Or
Moody. Like, they banned Moody because that by itself is uncompetitive. Libero is not. Like, it doesn't make Bidoof broken, but Moody does.
True.
So that, like, that, that's the threshold that you have to get to banning an ability. And, you know, they came close. There was a lot of discussion about it with Darmanitan.
Yeah.
Galar form. But they went with the entire thing, and they're setting that precedent. So, no. Unfortunately, no.
That's fair. I'll miss him. Yeah. Goodbye, bunny.
That's why we'll never get a... We'll get Blaziken, or Blaziken ever. That's never going to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, like, but who knows?
It's good, but it's subpar.
Maybe we'll get Speed Boost Blaziken now that both Baton Pass and Megas are gone. So
hey, that would, I'd be okay with that, actually.
Yeah, we'll find out if the leaks are true this October. We'll see. But outside of that, the next kind of... Because we have to do the Cinderace retest. That is locked in as the next suspect, quote-unquote suspect, that happens. We don't know when that's going to be. We've just heard soon. It might be the day after this podcast comes out, knowing my luck. But we'll find out. Outside that, people are starting to already set their targets on the next thing to go. And the biggest one to talk about that people are talking about is Toxapex. Because, I mean, it makes sense, really. Because... You know, it's an unbreakable wall, in a sense. We've done a lot of things to hit offensive teams, so why not try looking at defensive teams, too, for once? And there are a lot of factors in the meta right now that lead to Toxapex being kind of an overbearing force. For example, there are no Megas, so it is now free to run knockoff and do something much more supportive to the team than only toxicking things. So that's a thing. Another thing is there's no Z moves to just randomly burst it out. Like, Volcarona loved to carry Psychium Z in order to just knock a Toxapex off of its momentum or whatever, and can't do that anymore. And finally, there are some big counters that used to exist that just flat out don't anymore. Things like Gliscor, once it got its Toxic Orb popped off, it could just eat Toxapex all day long. Or Landorus could come in and really threaten it. Like, it could not absorb a hit from that. Or current counters, things like... Or Chexor counters or whatever. They might exist, but they have to adapt themselves in order to stay relevant in OU at the moment. Finchinator. I can't. He did a video the other day about Toxapex specifically, and a lot of what he mentioned, you know, this counters Toxapex, but it can't right now because it currently has to counter something else. An example that he cited was, like, Clefable could teleport out of an incoming Toxapex because they like to come in on Clef and go to a wall breaker that could deal with it. But right now, Clefable can't afford to run teleport. It's got to run fully defensive kind of supportive sets because Urshifu single strike exists, and that constrains team building to the point that Toxapex really, really thrives. It also, like, to counter Urshifu specifically, you have to run Mandibuzz plus Toxapex or some other regenerator, so that just makes it ever present. You'll always see it because you have to run that core, or else your team will just die to the panda. So, soapbox aside. But yeah, speaking of which, Clefable's at 50% use again. Corviknight has suddenly started to take over Mandibuzz now that Magearna and Cinderace are gone, because Corviknight's really good on stall because of pressure. Mandibuzz is great on glue, but pressure helps actually stall things. It can absorb a Wicked Strike or two, too, and really drain those power points out of it. On the topic of Urshifu, Bulk Up is rising because... If you catch a Bulk Up out of nowhere, that breaks apart the regular cores, which is just gross.
I'm not surprised. That was the last set I was running on him when I was playing OU, just because there's a lot of opportunities to get it off because people are usually going to predictively pivot into something else. So if you get the Bulk off and you have the right move for whatever they send in, it gets real messy really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just whatever that third move is determines what can actually come in on you. So, yeah. And you can lure them in with the regular moves and pop off that surprise third coverage move. Finally, two little fun trends on the ladder in OU. Rillaboom has started to go bananas. Especially on offensive teams, though, it's really giving a lot of support to those. It by itself is incredibly lethal with that grassy terrain boost and just swords dancing or even choice banding, but mostly swords dancing. It allows Hawlucha to exist. It pivots with U-turn, it can knock off support, even Swords Dance Superpower to catch surprise Ferrothorns trying to come in on Grassy Glide. It's part of the reason that Corviknight is rising. It's part of the reason Ferrothorn is still there, and also part of the reason that Tangrowth and Amoongus are going crazy. You just have to watch out for the increasing popularity Grassy Seed Acrobatics sets, though. If it gets a Swords Dance with that, like if you see one come in and it pops a Grassy Seed, red flag. You can't send out your Tangrowth or Amoongus. It also leads to Kumo-O rising because it can not only counter Rillaboom defensively, it can also kind of counter Urshifu and Aegislash a little. So the other fun thing coming around is Sun. That's just got so much momentum behind it. It's better than Rain, which is not something I thought I would say about Sun. It finally has the tools to be better than Rain. So
Weather Ball Charizard with specs is one of the grossest things if you can get it off in OU right now. Everything goes down. Nothing survives.
It feels like Fiery Dracovish.
Yes. It's the punish button for Sun. If you pivot into it, something goes down. If they don't have Flash Fire, something goes mm-hmm. down.
And they aren't even running heavy-duty boots on it, like McGee said. They're running specs on it just for the maximum go for blood. And they're doing alternate hazard control. Things like Hatterene and Zatu are finding their ways, both of which appreciate the sun with Heat Wave and Mystical Fire.
Yep.
So there's a lot of ways that Sun is having a lot of fun in OU right now. And it's really cool. Venusaur's cool and Charizard's cool on the same team. It's fun.
Poor Blastoise.
Poor Blastoise. It was banned in Nat decks, so I mean, there's that, I guess.
Why were they banned in Nat decks? Just curious. Was it just Shell Smash or was it
Shell Smash in combination with the fact that they allow Megas down there?
Never mind. Okay.
Blastoise Shell Smash.
Yeah, no, that's not healthy. That's not healthy. Why do people want Megas back? We don't want that.
I do.
You want?
I'm tired of seeing knockoff.
Like, Pokemon Go has them now. Why can't we?
Yeah.
I like Megas, but that's disgusting. Like, no. Maybe I'll just go play Ubers. I'd rather see something like that than... No.
Yeah. I mean, you got G-Max. That's basically the same thing. But anyway, Shamu, tell us a little bit about what's going on in UU.
Okay, so there were two bans. We've got Diggersby and Venusaur. Venusaur, I assume, is just Sun was too strong in UU, because...
Yeah. Ninetales could be there.
Ninetales and Charizard are both UU from what I was seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And then just with Venusaur, it's just... That's kind of disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Is Weather dead in UU now? Like, I know they banned Rain when Pelipper dropped.
I think Sun is still active.
Technically, I think you can also use Politoed.
Okay, I wasn't sure if they banned... Okay, I thought they banned Rain altogether.
I think they banned Drought specifically. I'd have to remember. I'm sorry, I don't remember.
No,
exactly.
It's fine. It's UU. You're forgiven.
Yeah. But and then I assume Diggersby is just a good old huge power generic. Like, Diggersby does what Diggersby does. You just throw... Yep. You have huge power or max attack, and you do quick attack, earthquake, and you just sweep.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they've been banned. It says rebanned, I see here. So they've been rebanned.
They were in UUBL for a little bit, so they were banned for a little. They were unbanned for a couple weeks, and then they were just like, nope, these are too much still, so.
I see. Fun times.
And then, I don't think Diggersby made it out of the day, to be honest. I think it was, like, really quick with Diggersby.
It was definitely less than, like, 4 days.
Yeah. Sorry, Shim, I keep cutting you off.
It's all right. But they're currently suspect... Jirachi is currently being suspect tested, which honestly makes sense. It's just... Jirachi does more things than a Pokemon should be able to do.
Uh-huh.
Especially with a Steel Psychic type. Like, if it's just one type, sure, yeah, like... Like, Mew is kind of fine, because, yeah, it's everything, but you're just dealing with Psychic. Steel Psychic's a bit, that Steel typing helps out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a lot of things. Yeah. You have Wish, U-Turn. Like, you've got, you have choice sets with U-Turn and such. You can do Serene Grace hacks with Iron Head. You've got, it just does so much. It's almost like Greninja, but instead of, like, coverage, it just can do anything. You see it, you don't know what it's gonna do until it does something. Like, until it clicks that first move, you have no idea what this mod will do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, most people at level with Calm Mind sets, I guess, are what's being disgusting.
Yeah,
right
that's
now.
What a lot of people are having a lot of problems with. Especially, you know, if you want to take advantage of Serene Grace, you have the Iron Head. but then all of a sudden your coverage moves in Calm Mind or your primary moves, they have secondary effects as well. Mm. So you can just really go to town with that and just the extra chance for a burn from something or that is all just even better.
They ran a parahack, etc.
The flash cannon drop.
Yeah. Already dealing with the boosted stats and with the possibility of something else just making you not susceptible, but like just hampering you even further than you already are with the it's win harder without trying to be win harder. It's just
there was that one that really wrecked me that we talked about last month in OU where it's like meteor beam, psychic, and something else. That tore me apart. Aura sphere, I think, was one of the moves. Bonkers.
Surprise! Meteor beams are scary.
Yeah.
Meteor Beam is a scary move. I wish, Starby with Meteor Beam is a scary thing to me, but it's not a good mod, really, for that. Like, it's good, but it's just, like...
Someone took off in a game last week on Draft League with a Meteor Beam. Was it FAC? Maybe FAC. Someone went wild with it. It was fun to watch.
It's just really good with the plus one. It just makes it do a lot more than it should.
Mm-hmm.
But also, in UU, we've got Specs Curem doing some major damage with 125 base special attack with Specs. I can see it just breaking walls left and right. Plus, you also get ice coverage. You have dragon coverage if you need it. Just some hit hard neutrally, like Draco or something. So you click the Draco, you kill something just about. Or if not kill something, you're doing enough to have weaken it for something else to come in and just finish it off. Also gets Earth Power 2 and Roost if you want to. Even though it has Specs, you can still click Roost on a safe turn if you have it. But yeah, that's doing damage. Then also flip turn Specstragalge.
On the topic of dropping Dracos.
Yeah. Some good old adaptability Dracos with, I don't even know what's a special attack. It's around the same, isn't it?
It's like 97.
Is it
or
really?
Something like that.
I think it's special attack. I could have sworn it was higher than that. I feel like it's like 121 or something. I think you're thinking Noivern. I think it's like 120 something.
Noivern's got nothing. Like, Stragalge is
97.
Wow. No way.
I just looked it up. Straight up 97.
Why are you so bad, Dragalge?
It has to have something else. What else is it?
Its special defense is 123. That was its big thing.
But adaptability makes that feel like it's coming off of something a lot more powerful.
Yeah. So you've got the special defense. You've got, like, decent stats overall, too. So, like, your flip turn's not going to hit for nothing. It's just you're still using flip turn.
Mm-hmm.
But, so it's essentially, it's kind of like Clothsur in a way. How Clothsur would play, like, you just run, like, a U-turn on it just to have that option to pivot out.
Yep.
The only difference here is that you've got your Poison and Dragon will hit much harder, and then you have more special bulk.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you have you've got the Dragon typing to help out with some of the elemental stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, it's really fun.
Just come in, take a hit, and pivot out, and just very... Yeah, that's solid. And then there's a little fun guy that I've come to love recently that's doing a... It's got an hour roll here and there. It's kind of forgotten. We've got Pincurchin. good old electric terrain, and with Alolan Raichu there with Writhing Voltage. It's just... That makes that thing just strong already. And with Pincurchin, it gets hazards, it gets spikes. You can get Scald or Discharge if you want to, like, just throw Burn or Paralysis on just something that's just to get that extra status and do a bit of damage.
Mm-hmm.
And then it can also run Writhing Voltage. It's got fairly balanced stats, like, and it can surprisingly taste things it shouldn't be able to take. Like, from experience, like, it lived something that I didn't think it would, was just barely defensive investment. But you essentially, if you're running this, you're running it with Alolan Raichu. You don't want to run it solo. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't do good on its own. It's a good support mod for the electric terrain to boost your Alolan Raichu that you're already running.
Does he get Volt Switch?
I believe it does. I'm wrong.
I mean, slow pivot.
Not positive.
I'm going to check that up real quick because I'm just not entirely sure on that. Because you don't usually run it, but I think you can if you wish.
Pincurchin.
Does not get it by my research.
Oh. So it does not get it, but it does get some other, like, you do get Recover if you want to. You get some other random moves you can have fun with.
Memento.
You have Memento. You can do, like, you can slap a Thunder Wave on it if you don't want to worry about with Discharge. Hey, if you want Toxic Spikes, you get Toxic Spikes too, but Spikes is probably better, and then Sucker Punch too. Like, it's got an
attack
that... Such
a weird Pokemon.
Yeah, because, like, if you're running this, you're not running speed investment.
What? That 15 isn't good enough to get up?
No, not yet. You got to run a jolly, maybe.
Oh, my gosh.
But, max speed, but, level 100 Pinchurchin can hit 141 speed.
Top tier. But yeah, like, it's got, like, it also gets Sucker Punch with a 101 attack stat, which is, like, that could do something here and there. I honestly don't know what's in UU that would want to not take that at the moment, but we'll get Jirachi.
Choice band, Pinkerton versus Jirachi.
Maybe next year, or later in this year, who knows, maybe.
There we go.
But yeah, with also Jirachi being tested, and, like, in the popularity of Jirachi, weakness policy T-Tar has come out of the cave, I guess. I don't know where it lives.
So now it lives in UU, sucker.
Oh, I see what this... Oh, okay. So, yeah, the weakness policy T-Tar with 104 attack. You're running special defensive bulk with 192 points invested in that, and then 212 in speed, which I assume it outspeeds something or some base. I personally don't know.
I know that max speed plus one outspeeds Jolly... outspeeds max 115s, because I remember I used to run Scarf Tar in Gen 4 against Starmie. So that would probably outrun, like, 113 or so.
Yeah, because Jolly was at 212 speed with Stone Edge, Crunch, Earthquake, and Dragon Dance. So essentially you just click Dragon Dance. You can hope you get hit by the... I assume you live a plus one or something from Jirachi with the Sand Up.
With a Flash Cannon, yeah, you ain't going down.
Yeah. So you trigger the weakness policy, and then with the Dragon Dance turn one, you just start sweeping.
Yeah, or absorb an Iron Head, maybe, and just go to town.
That's a fun set there. Especially with, like, countering the Calm Mind Jirachi. Oh.
Uh-huh.
That's fun.
All right, that's kind of UU. Take us through RU, Miggy.
Yeah, so we got three bans that have happened in RU. Linoon, again, because apparently, shockingly, Belly Drum is a bit of a problem to check when it has extreme speed.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have guessed?
The answer. No.
I appreciate they gave it a second chance, though, after all the craziness. But yeah. Nope, still too much.
Broken is broken. Sharpedo, same deal. Sit there, protect, outspeed everything. Good solid attack, go to town. Zoroark, because it's got solid stats, and then the ability can be problematic to get around sometimes if you're not aware of where it is. So, again, things to be aware of. Unbanned, though, things that are getting some new life. Centiscorch, doing Centiscorch things, still down there. Beriscuta continues his decline. Poor guy. He was OU for a minute, once upon a time. Drapa, Gudra, Indeedee Female, Inteleon, Ninetales, Sigilyph, and Virizion. Virizion was voted on, but it was not banned. Centiscorch is kept in check by Mantine, because Mantine just eats it alive with both of its stabs. Specs Dragalge does nicely here, because it's got... Well, what's its fighting move, Oris, here?
Focus Blast.
Focus... Ooh. It's got Focus Miss, but that's okay.
Big old asterisk there, but whatever.
Sand is powerful, and Lycanroc is appreciative of such sand. It gives his not-so-great special defense a little extra help. And then the Clawitzer terrain, so the Shemu PDL team, Clawitzer in terrain is very solid, because his Mega Launcher boosted terrain pulse is quite alarming.
Does a good chunk, you know, doubling damage, then, like, also just, oh, you have the terrain boost too, like, oh, and the Mega Launcher,
And it wasn't, not like, quite. An awful... His special attack's solid, right? Like, it's not trash.
Oh, it's like 125, 120. It's up there. It's one something.
Yeah, it hurts.
It's high. I hit the speed and, like, offense and, like... Essentially, it's like, instead of giving Dragalge offense, they gave it special defense.
So, like, for context, a Pinkurchin... So, if Pinkurchin sets electric terrain, and then Clawitzer uses terrain pulse, it hits... just with the boost of the terrain alone, it hits as, like, a 133... base power attack that gets a 50% boost because of his ability. So it's hitting at like a 200 base power. That's nasty. If my math's right, my math might be wrong here.
I think you're about right.
It's around there.
That's a lot. Especially if you have specs on there too, that's a lot of damage.
Yeah. You start to out damage your own stab moves at that point.
Exactly. So Clawitzer is good. Surprise, surprise. And that's largely what's going on in RU. Things are kind of finding their homes now a bit, now that we're about 2 months removed from Isle of Armor. So the lower tiers are getting more settled.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll take the last couple. NU, not really a whole lot of movement. Nothing was banned or unbanned. People are discovering the ugly, nasty core of Specs Decidueye and Scarf Toxicroak together, and they're kind of patching up the bits that it leaves behind with something like a Swords Dance Silvally ground type. So, very lethal core, and then Silvally just kind of rounds it out even more. Down in this tier, it's all about pivoting. Lots of things, in fact, like two-thirds of the things on the viability list frequently run some sort of pivot move, be that, you know, U-turn, Volt Switch, Teleport, even Flip Turn in some cases.
Teleport Magneton. He has Volt Switch and he's I get why, but like, that's crazy.
It's safer to be able to actually pivot because they don't want the damage, they just want the switch.
Or if you're worried about them switching in a ground type to completely cancel it. That's the other thing.
That's true. That's fair.
But yeah, there's things like Golurk, which uses Trick. Decidueye uses U-turn. A lot of choice things are really big on the pivoting. There's lots of choice wall breakers down here. There's a bunch of Silvally forms, so they've got Parting Shot all over the place. Like, it's pivoting to the point that people are talking about, hey, do we need to look at this? Like, do we need to? Because no one Mon is a problem at the moment, which is why there were no bans or unbans.
It's the style.
It's the style, exactly. And that's kind of when we get into this topic here today. That's more about laddering, but you know, you've got to pick your style and know what your style is. So it's kind of appropriate for today. There's also a whole lot more Stealth Rock users down here now that they finally started falling. Colossal, Koff Egregious, Galar, Claydol, and Mudsdale.
He's got a name. It's Runarigus.
Oh my gosh, you're right. What was I thinking?
Poor guy.
Oh my gosh.
So, I guess starting today, Seth is now Lost Battlecast and PvP.
I have completely...
You brought dishonor to the Puckle name.
Oh my word. What am I doing with my life? Like, of all of them, though, that one's the most excusable. Like, let's be real.
It's fair. I mean, like, why does he amass another line to evolve into? I get it. Like, why?
Garoon. Yeah. It makes sense.
Why didn't they just make it
Galarian?
Koff Egregious too? Like, what the... Because, I mean, like, Cursola is a whole different Pokemon that didn't exist before, but... Never mind. Oh, well. Anyway, now I'm mad about that, now that I actually think about it. Like, why is this a Pokemon that... Anyway, PU. Moving on. New tier. Before I embarrass myself further, two things were banned in PU. Those are Flapple and Thievul. One thing was unbanned. That was Gorgeist Super. Why that was unbanned with Poltergeist accents now, I have no idea. Two things are kind of on people's radar right now. One is Lilligant. And that is mainly because it can run Quiver Dance, Petal Dance, you know, with own tempo to make that basically just a free 120 base power move over and over again. And the thing that people are really annoyed about is the Sleep Powder access, which is part of the reason that Butterfree was banned from this tier, because Butterfree was too much for a tier. Let that sink in. But the Sleep Powder to just completely invalidate what would be a counter is what annoys people. Lilligant by itself isn't broken per se, but if it gets the right hacks off, it can quickly snowball out of control. If it gets a couple lucky turns of something, its counter being asleep, and just sets up more Quiver Dances to break past it, that's where the problem is. This combo was part of the reason that Butterfree was banned, but Lilligant fortunately does not have Compound Eyes, so that makes it a little bit more balanced from the hacks factor. It just has own tempo that you've got to watch for. The other thing on people's radar is just more discussions about Rapidash Galar. Yeah, that's a Galar form.
Yes. No comment.
But yeah, it's probably not going to be banned. It's probably not too much at the moment, but it's basically omnipresent on offensive teams. So it's something that keeps those together. It's very good. So that's just kind of what's on the radar. But yeah, that is tier time, so we're going to leave you guys right here, and we'll pick you back up with the topic about laddering, which is actually a really exciting topic, so we will be right back. All aboard. It's time for the topic. And welcome back to the topic. And today we are going to be talking about not a tier, not a specific style or anything, but something that applies to pretty much everywhere that you're doing that and doing any kind of battles online or in a video game sense. And that is laddering. Now, you can do laddering, you know, obviously there's the Smogon laddering that happens. There's the Battle Spot Stadium laddering that happens. There's even, you know, the Battle Tower laddering. That's kind of laddering. So we've got McGee here, and he's well known throughout Puckle as being, you know, the ladder king in a sense. So
I guess. I mean, I like to play a meta, and I like to take a team as far as I can, and sometimes that leads me towards, or at one point, to the top. And so I find myself a little knowledgeable on it, and how frustrating it can be, and how fun it can be, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, laddering really just kind of like, as a very basic thing, is just trying to climb a ranking system as high as you can climb it. Whether that be online on the cart with like Battle Stadium singles or VGC or doing any of the dozens of Smogon formats, is just trying to take a team and bring it all the way to the top or as far as you can, because it's, from experience, it's very, 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 very difficult to get something all the way to the top. There are so mm-hmm. many things that can go wrong. But it's the pursuit that makes it very exciting and fun. And so, I thought it'd be fun to talk about, and I proposed it to Seth, and I'm glad he said yes.
Yeah, I love this idea, and I love just kind of taking a moment when we're kind of in a lull as far as things going on, because we're all kind of anxiously waiting for Crown Tundra and everything. And between you having made it and Shamu and I being absolutely 100% addicted to using our memes, we've got kind of a good balance of people here. So I see that you've got something here that you've come up with, the three M's of laddering. Would you explain that to us?
Yeah. So it's kind of a way I think about it when I'm approaching any situation where I want to try to push a ladder. I try to approach it with these three M's in mind, which is the meta. So what am I playing? You know, am I playing VGC? If I'm playing VGC, obviously it's a whole different thing. We got Dynamaxing. We've got two mons on the field. So I like to break meta down as like its own acronym. So meta being most effective tactics available. So understanding what works really, yeah. really well in that format, and then trying to use that or exploit against that if you're going to play opposite the meta as best as possible. So I always keep that in mind when I'm team building. What is the most effective tactics available, and how do I want to use them or work around them? Obviously you have to consider the mons you're using, the Pokemon you're using. I broke it down so I could keep the M's here. you can't just throw any six OU mons together and you have a good OU team. Some things mesh really well together. Rillaboom with, several things.
The cursed bird.
Yes. Rillaboom can mesh well with a lot of things. Things like Mandibuzz and Clefable form really strong cores. And so you have to understand what your team building is and what six mons are going to complement each other the most. And then obviously, and this is the big thing that really can affect people when they're trying to ladder, is keeping a good mentality, because it's really, really, really easy to get tilted after two or three rough. It's one thing to lose at like, you know, 1200 on ladder. I know ladder starts at 1000, and for the active ladders, it usually exceeds 2000. It's one thing to lose a couple games at 1200 and be like, well, they were some weird meme teams, I got caught off guard, it's whatever. It's another when you lose a game at like 1900 and you lose another game, and then you went from rank 50 all the way down to like 250, and it can just be really debilitating. So trying to keep a strong mentality and trying to take it one game at a time and not get too affected by the loss you just had, and is trying to keep calm and stay on track. And so those are the things I approached laddering with. Those are the kind of three things I'm always considering when I'm going to try at something, whether it be VGC, whether it be BSS, OU, monotypes. There was this really weird one where you get six random mons with six random movesets, and you pick one and you verse. No, I can't even remember what it's called. I think CAP, something like that, CAP.
Oh, no. Challenge Cup.
Okay, yeah, I did that once.
That's
just for
our
fun.
Favorite.
Just when you need a break, but you still want to kind of try to ladder in something that's largely random.
Challenge Cup 1v1 is such a glorious meta.
How you and I, Shamu, have gone through like 20 of those in an evening at least, just back and forth.
20 of those in like 20 minutes. It's fat, and it's just like It's just a good night. Like,
yeah.
It's just like, oh, you want to have fun with some friends? Just go on to Challenge Cup 1v1 and just, oh, God, the sets you get there.
Sometimes roll out Whimsicott is your best option. Like, that's kind of how those go.
Yeah, you'll get some good old jank, and it's a fun time. It might give you an idea or two to make something work.
Honestly, yes. Like, I've gotten ideas from things that we've done there.
Yeah.
So things like that are good to roll off to if you're having a frustrating couple of games and something. Just roll off to a really silly format. Take your mind off of it. Just throw in a randoms or a challenge cup or go entirely to something different. Sometimes if I'm really frustrated with OU, I'll slide over to VGC just because it's very different. And you feel like it rather than 40 turns of intense concentration, you're down to 5. And it's much more relaxing. So bouncing around sometimes helps a lot, I found. If you feel like your mentality is slipping, take a break. Switch it up. Go somewhere else. Like Challenge Cup. It's good.
Oh, yeah. And I even do that like for my own laddering purposes, except I typically jump from, like, if I really want to clear my head, I will jump from Smogon laddering to just PTCGO and do a couple games there to really change up what I'm looking at. Like, that's somewhere where you see Dedenne all the time, and you never would see Dedenne on a ladder. So you don't even see the same Pokemon. That's a good way to clear your head if you have the ability and everything like that to do that. But yeah, I definitely agree with you completely on hopping to another format if you start to get really out of sorts, because that can lead to toxicity in your own playing that both makes you easier to predict and you'll get angry. Yeah, exactly. You'll start to take risks you shouldn't have because you're angry. Because
you're trying to bounce back quicker than just playing it smart. And so you'll do riskier things. You'll try for things without properly scouting out in advance to get a read on the player. And so you'll end up making a lot of mistakes. I think people underestimate the value of having a good mental approach to a game, especially if you're trying to climb a ladder. And if you undervalue that, you tend to struggle very quickly in my experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you've mentioned a couple different things about like the ladder or whatever, like the 1200 or the 1500. So that's the Smogon format as far as just where you are in the ladder with the rating system. And so tell us a little bit more. You've climbed all the way to the top in numbers that I have never seen in my life. So,
oh yeah. Number one in the doubles Gen 7 OU, the very popular format that I did while Gen 8 was active. So of course everyone was playing it. But I did hit number 3 in OU, so like I have played with the current meta and had some success. So the thing to understand with laddering is that as you climb it, teams are going to evolve. Whether this be on Smogon or on Kart, if you were playing, at the 1,000 to 1,300 level on Smogon, or if you're playing Pokeball tier on Kart, it's going to be a lot of memes and a lot of unoptimized teams. So
heck yeah.
So things like Dubwool, if you're playing BSS, they are going to show up everywhere because it has some fun things. It's got Cotton Guard. It's got Body Press. It's got Baton Pass, but it also dies to Fire Blast every single time. But they'll try it. They'll try it in that tier because players aren't playing as smart and they think they can get away with it. And to a degree, they can. So you'll see a lot of memes in the lower tiers. And then you'll see a lot of hyper offense in like the 1,000 to 1,300 range. You'll see a lot of people that are just trying to set up a bunch of win conditions right after each other. So you'll get Dragonite Gyarados, you'll get Clinger's Soul Komo-o, you'll get anything that can do a sweep will try a sweep. You'll run into teams that just have 6 of those. And then you'll see some, and then something you'll see throughout pretty much the whole game, and something that I always recommend running is bulky offense. Just, you have some solid bulk on your team, you have some healers, things that can take some hits. You're not a bunch of fragile sweepers. You've got some bulk to come in and pivot around and switch around and endure a game. And so that does well here. It's going to do well up the ladder as well. But once you start climbing, you'll start to hit to like a 1300 point ladder, and that's where you'll start to see, and I'll say 1300 on Smogon, and I'll say like great ball tier to ultra ball tier on Kart. You'll start to see more solid teams. One thing you'll run into is players aren't always playing consistently. So they might have a good team, but they'll do silly things or they won't read a situation right. And so you'll run into that where you're like, wow, this team's going to kick my butt. And then they just make 3 mistakes in a row. And you're like, well, I shouldn't have won that game. But that that kind of comes with where you're at on the tier. And then sometimes a person will do 3 crazy things in a row that they should definitely not have done, and it'll work out in their favor. So this is 1300 to 1600 is one of the most frustrating spots on ladder because you run into all sorts of competence and you can't, it's really hard to pigeonhole what you're playing early on. And so you can run into a lot of games where you're like, I'm going to win this one or I should win this one. And then they do something weird and crazy and you're like, oh yeah. God. Because this is where not only you see the hyper offense, because that's always a thing, but this is also where I'm going to quote Seth's term here. You'll see a lot of spice rack teams that are running a mon that does something really weird and peculiar, and it's not easy to scout out, and it'll just take off and it'll sweep through your team. And then if you get through the 1600 thing, things start to normalize pretty quickly. Most players are very consistent at that point. They're going to play logically. They're going to have a solid team that doesn't have any obvious exploitable weakness, and this is kind of where stall really, really takes off. So if you get to 1600 in a ladder and you don't have a good answer to stall, that's probably where you're gonna max out, because that just gets to be oppressive. You'll see Amoongus, Tangela, Toxapex, Ferrothorn, Clefable, and like Corviknight all on the same team, and you just have to break through
children
it. And they're just running Haze and Unaware and Toxic and Sleep Powder, and they're just going to stall you out, make it last 150 turns until you are angry at the world. So that's kind of what I tend to see. And 1600 also like applies, you know, Master Ball on cart. So if you're really shooting for that top position on cart, not that that's much easier. You run into the same things in terms of play styles. Maybe not the same team builds, but the same play styles where players know what they're doing. They're playing consistently. You can't bank on them doing silly things anymore. You can't bank on them making illogical decisions or not seeing you prepping for a sweep. You just got to anticipate they're going to play smart and see what you're trying to do, and you have to make smart reads and work around them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would add in one big factor to the 1300 to 1600 ranking.
Mm-hmm.
That I've come across just in my own building, where I come up with an idea. You know, I start off a new ladder account or whatever. I have a thought that I've fashioned in my own head, and that gets me to like 1200 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And so then from there, I start to reference other people's work who might have, you know, come up with the same weird set or something like that and really refined it, found out good partners for it. And I find a team on Smogon somewhere or something like that. In my frame of mind, it's always Smogon OU for the most part. So I find a team someone else has built and I try that. And that's kind of where the 1300 to 1600 is for me, is where people not only are coming up with their own teams and really figuring out what takes momentum, but also grabbing shared teams from forums or YouTube videos or something like that and trying it out for themselves, which is why when you mentioned like, someone might make a mistake three times that they shouldn't have. It's not their team, or they're learning that team, where they're learning how those mons work, what they can hit, what they can't hit. That kind of,
no, that's 100% accurate. I can't disagree with that at all, because sometimes what I do, and I run into the same problem, is I'll pluck a team when I'm picking up like Gen 7 OU right now. I'm trying to learn that a little bit, and I'm not familiar with it at all. And so the most logical thing to do, even if you're an experienced player, is grab a sample team or something like that that has had success as you try to figure out the format and figure out what you like to use in that format. And so 1300, you can, if you're a solid player, regardless of format, you can pluck a team and probably get to 1300 pretty easily and climb maybe all the way up to 1600. And that's where a team usually starts to fall apart if you didn't build it, just because you don't know all its little ins and outs. And most likely the play style doesn't fully mesh with how you play. And so you start doing suboptimal things throughout the game, and then it just starts to fall apart. But 1300 to 1600 is where a lot of sample teams, a lot of rental teams, a lot of other player teams will show up, because that's where most competent players will get if it's a team they didn't build. And sometimes they can take it farther, but usually 1600 is where a lot of people will peek out with a team that they didn't create.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so it's not only the Pokemon that you're facing, it's also the person on the other end of the computer, really. Because you're not just facing Pokemon, you're not an AI, you're facing a person who's clicking buttons at the same time as you are. And that's who your real opponent is. It's not the Hawlucha, even though I hate it and don't think it should exist. It's the person who made that team and is running it. So, kind of like when you said earlier, where at, you know, the mid rank to 1600 plus, you start to get people who play logically and can kind of plan out two or three turns ahead of where they are right now and have an end goal in mind and had one from team preview in mind. Things like that.
It's a team that knows their win con at that point. A team that knows what situation they need to create in order for their Pokemon to just win. You know, and Hawlucha is a very great example of a win con. If I take a couple of these mons below 50% and I come in safely on this, I click Sword Dance and I win the game and they can't stop it. So there's situations like that you're just trying to create as a player, and you'll see a lot more consistent efforts of that at around 1600, where they understand it better. They're not going to risk their win condition until they absolutely have to.
Exactly. And, you know, you're in psychological warfare with these people.
Oh, yeah.
In a sense, like you know, you've mentioned them making a mistake. There have been multiple games where I make a mistake on purpose. One that won't cost me the game, mind you, but one that just looks suboptimal. Mm-hmm. And I condition them to thinking that next time that happens, I will make that same mistake again. And then I take advantage of me conditioning them to that thing, like making a suboptimal switch two or three times that won't lose me the game, but makes them think that I will do that every single time. And
it's like the exact same thing. Like, they do it once, are they going to do it again?
Uh-huh.
Will they go for that? It's one of those things you have to take the risk of, do I call them on that, or which way do I go? Do I continue with what I think will work, or do I think they're going to actually switch or click this move instead? And you have to go from there. Because, like, for my personal, like, I usually, like, okay, I see it once, I flip the coin and see what they've done. Or, like, either flip the coin or I see what they've done throughout that battle and go, like, they will either do that again or not. And if they don't, I just say, okay, if they do it here, they do it here, they don't. And I know for the rest of the battle what they're going to, like, at that point, you know if they're actually just, they're bluffing or if they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or not,
mm-hmm.
That's the kind of same thing. But, you know, like, you either know, like, was that just an accident? You figure out what kind of player they are at that point. Once you see them either in a way learn from that mistake, if that makes sense. Like, if they either do the correct play the second time or not.
Yeah, if they see what you've done and they make the corrections, and you have a better gauge on their quality as a player. And I think that's the big thing you start to see. And the biggest hindrance for people trying to climb above, like, 1600 or ladder, or trying to make a good push into Master Ball, is you have to realize what your habits are as a player, and you have to see what your opponent is doing. You have to stop looking at just the 12 mon that are on the field. You have to start looking at the players that are controlling those Pokemon and deciding what moves they're going to do and what actions. Does this person try to go for 3 hard reads in a row? Well, maybe I start calling that and making a hard switch on something because he's trying to go for whatever hard read it is and give him the opposite and set up and win. Or maybe he's always playing the safe option, and so you call him on the safe option, you do something bold, and you start to sweep the game. So mm-hmm. it gets to that point where you need, if you're going to make that next step forward, you have to start looking at what the player's habits are. And if you're playing OU especially, this is so doable, because most OU games, especially about this point in the ladder, are starting to get into the 40 plus turn range. So that gives you plenty of time to scout out what their play style is, how they lead, what kind of moves they're trying to use. Are they looking like a bulky team, but they're surprisingly hyper offense? And then you find that out quickly. You get a chance to kind of gauge the player a little bit, and that can help you make smart moves, because a lot of the first 10 to 20 turns in OU is just poking and dodging and weaving and switching out and trying to poke little holes in the team. It's not a lot of it at that point. It stops becoming, you know, a 10 turn sweep for anybody. It's a longer game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's where things like double switch come into play, where, you know, you convince them that you're going to stay in with this, but then you go to something totally different as they switch in their thing. That's, if you can master a good double switch, then you've made it.
Yes.
That's kind of a threshold by itself. But yeah, as a defensive player who likes to do a lot of things like that, I can really easily condition someone into thinking, okay, I see special attack, I switch in Chansey or whatever. But yeah.
And then you switch in Urshifu on the chance.
And then I switch in Urshifu on something
and
else.
And the chance is I'm having a good time anymore.
Mm-hmm. But I double switched to Dragapult, so what are you going to do now? Ha-ha. But yeah, it's things like that. Like, always trying to be one step ahead, but also making them think you're one step behind. That's kind of, you're playing a person. You're playing a human being on the other side of whatever device you're playing on, and you've got to both trick them and not be tricked yourself. And yeah, kind of going back into the meta thing, like, there are a lot of different popular things and popular play styles. Kind of, you mentioned a few of them, like when you were going over at 13 to 16, you see a lot of heavy offense and then starting of stall and the spice rack, and you've really got to learn, you know, what meta you're in at that moment, what's popular, and how to counter it. You know, this is not us saying only go with the official viability rankings and only pick Pokemon from that. Don't get us wrong. We are not saying that, but you have to take those into account when you're playing, when you're laddering. You have to know what you're most likely to face and make your plan accordingly.
Yeah. So. I mean, I broke 2000 with a Quagsire on my team. Like, it's, you don't need to just strictly play OU. You can run things that are outside of it, which I think is where Seth's kind of getting to, is there's things that people undervalue and that they have extreme usage if you see a meta going one way. So when Urshifu first came out, everyone got scared and everyone ran hyper defense. Like, everything was defensive. So you were seeing like teams with six Stallmons. And so my first reaction was, well, substitute Togekiss is very effective in this meta because it outspeeds most of these things. Most of them have trouble breaking a sub. And then you just nasty plot an air slash to victory. And there's not a lot they can do about that. So part of it is just getting a gauge on how people are reacting to changes in a meta. So now we've lost Cinderace and we've lost Magearna in the last month. And those were very constant present threats in the OU metagame. And both of those made it very hard for Rillaboom to succeed, and they're gone. So Rillaboom is succeeding more now. And both of those caused trouble for Corviknight, who was a staple for a while and had really teetered off the last couple of months. But now Corviknight's back and strong because Corviknight isn't as easily checked anymore by those two things. So it's understanding. And if you can be early to that curve, you're going to be much better off as a player. If you understand, hey, this is gone, so this is going to do better now. Let me get it in now before everyone else realizes that it's going to be good again. You can go on some very high ladder runs with it before people start to realize how to check it. And that's usually most of my success. You know, I ran a Togekiss team with that Quagsire to 2000 because people weren't checking Togekiss. They forgot it kind of existed. I mean, there was some, its biggest counter was a, Zeraora, but Zeraora wasn't the most popular thing at that moment. And so it was just getting in and causing trouble. And so that's usually my most successful runs are when I see an opening in a meta and exploit that until people catch on. And so that's when, you know, I think that's the point you realize you've succeeded as like a ladder player, is when you realize you can see a trend before the trend is like super popular and you can exploit it and make a good climb.
Exactly. And, you know, if anything, some people might call it being a meta slave or something like that. But if anything, you're the opposite, because you see a vacuum. And instead of filling that vacuum yourself, you attack the natural things that are going to fill that vacuum. That's your Togekiss example.
Yes.
So, you know, you're from the very beginning of the team construction, you're at level two, not level one, which is just replace fill the vacuum with whatever or however it needs to be. So...
Well, absolutely. Yeah. There was a period, too, where IG Slash with Specs was really nice because people were so scared of Urshifu that Chansey wasn't really on the radar being run that much. And if there's no Chansey and there's not really any other normal type walls in the meta, you can just scream out Shadow Balls with Specs and nothing's happy. So it's just seeing little openings like that and be like, yep, this isn't here right now. Here's what's no longer checked very well. Let me go abuse this until people catch on.
Absolutely. And another thing is kind of knowing knowing your win con. How are you going to actually knock out all six of their Pokemon? That's something that I oftentimes lose sight of. Like I start thinking, okay, I've got to defend against this, and I've got to defend against this, and I make a team and I start battling with it, and then I realize, shoot, I have no way to take advantage of a turn that that is given to me. I'm just all defensive. Like my whole strategy is outlast. I don't have a way to win actively. That's something I struggle with a lot.
I mean, I can be in the same boat sometimes where except on the exact opposite end where I'm like, oh God, I have nothing to check this. I'm going to lose. Cause that happens all the time for me. I usually run something like really bulky, like a Chansey, but then they get a Swords Dance off on Hawlucha and Chansey's not doing anything. Chansey's just feeding it a drain punch at that point and Chansey's going down. So I'm in the exact opposite boat of you where, sometimes you lose sight of the hole in your team and you let it get exploited too quickly and then you can lose the game. I had something else I wanted to say too. I forgot though. It'll come back to me. Sorry, Seth.
It'll come along. No worries. That's, you know, this is a kind of organic conversation on our experiences with laddering and just kind of how, what we've learned, what we've taken from our experience and use kind of what we've learned. We've kind of covered a lot of things here. We hope we made it a little bit easier. A good one to reference as you attempt your next suspect test or something like that. By the time this one comes out, it's probably a little too late to jump in on the Jirachi UU one, but, you know.
Cinderace will be close.
Cinderace is happening. Yeah, exactly. That'll be happening pretty soon. Plus, you know, we're getting you ready for Crown Tundra, when we'll probably have a bunch of them once we get through the quick bands.
I will say this. If you ever want to learn how to ladder high and ladder quickly, coming in at a new meta is the best time to do it, because you can grab something that you see as being exploitive and run with it really quickly and really high before people realize how to check it reliably. So if you're a player that you feel like you have good vision on what's going to be good in a meta, and maybe not everyone sees it yet, that's the moment. Most of my highest ladder runs have been in the first couple of weeks after a meta has drastically changed. So, you know, I finally broke 2000 ELO this year, which was the first time in 7 years I've managed to do that. And so that was right after Isle of Armor dropped. And so I just had a good sense of what was going to succeed in there, what was going to be a problem, and I ran with it and I had good success. I'm not doing as well now, in part because Cinderace is gone. He's such a core to my team. Oh, there it is. I remembered. So I didn't put this in our notes, but I really wanted to mention it. Understanding what your play style is and what your core of your team is really important. Core may be a Pokemon, or it just may be a type, a role of a Pokemon on your team. And having that is really, really important. Some people like to have a setup sweeper. Perfectly fine, perfectly valid anywhere on ladder. But what kind of setup sweeper do you want to have? Do you want to have something like a Como-O that runs Belly Drum that's super oppressive if you get it off, but has a much higher miss rate? Or do you just want something that does like a Dragon Dance or a Swords Dance or something like that? So understanding what like your signature Pokemon or your signature mold of Pokemon is like really, really important. And it's one of the reasons I'm struggling with OU at the moment, is I lost mine in Cinderace. Just because I like throwing hazards back at somebody. I was running Hatterene for a while before Hatterene kind of lost viability. I like being able to throw hazards back at somebody else for setting them up in front of me. Because again, on that team that I did really well with, I didn't even have Stealth Rock. I had no Stealth Rock. I had no Defog. I had no Rapid Spin. All I had was a single Cinderace with Court Change. And so I would let them stack their hazards up. And then midway through, after their hazard setter was gone or their Defogger was gone, Court Change them over. And then now they were suffering. And that mon is gone for me now. And I'm having a really hard time adjusting to the meta. So understanding, trying to find what that mon is for you is always really important, in my opinion. I think for Seth, it's something like Toxapex or Ferrothorn, a very core, hard to break wall that you can, just use as like a barrier that your opponent has to break through to win. If you take out that mon that can break through it, you win the game.
Yeah.
I don't know what Shamu's is. Double? I don't know.
No, mine's just more of style. I prefer like hyper offense slash maybe like a little bit light balance, like, because like I can't do stall, I can't really do balanced offense that well, but when it comes like hyper offensive, just like pivoting, switching, moving around, that's generally what I end up falling into.
Yeah,
because I can't even like, I think what summer league team I was so much more comfortable with, because it was just hyper offense with pivoting with like Beedrill and stuff. It was just like I could do better with that in the ladder than an actual meta team, because it's just hyper offense and it was just pivoting around and it was just strong. It was just, so it's like, more my thing. It's just hyper offense generally.
The team I hit number one on ladders with in doubles OU Gen 7 was just 5 pivot moves, 2 fake out users. It was just nonstop mons moving around. So I definitely respect that play style. If you can really exploit it with whatever the meta is, it's really hard to handle and it can be really oppressive. I don't think OU's allowed for it as much so far this gen. But
it's getting there bit by bit.
I mean, it teleports the big one right now, just because teleport's so reliable. But again, as you were talking about earlier, Clef's really heavily restricted right now, just because of what it has to handle. That teleport's kind of taken a dive, except for Slowbro.
And Blissey now, too. That's
About Heavy Duty Boots Blissey. Oh, I forgot about
that one. Half my current OU team runs Heavy Duty Boots. Which, this kind of transitions to the last point that we had on our list here, which is kind of the sunk cost fallacy, in a sense. Don't be afraid to change your team. You know, just because something has worked really well for you so far, if it is now suboptimal at the point you are in the ladder, view that as a success, because now you can evolve your team past that threshold to the next level. Like, I am at a point in my stuff where my Amanda Buzz is being taken advantage of way too often. And with Clefable being seen on half teams, it's not doing. There's many battles where the Mandibuzz doesn't come out at all. So I now have to look at myself, even though Mandibuzz has saved my butt so many times. Is it worth it? Is it still putting in the effort? I know that it's I have an attachment to it because it's good, but I could always do better.
Things change. The meta changes a lot. So in the early days, Dracapult and Hydreigon were really, really popular in OU. I mean, Dracapult still does well, but Hydreigon's really taken a dip off. And then Mandibuzz just stood there and ate them alive. You ran a little bit of attack on your Mandibuzz so you could break Hydreigon subs with U-turn. You foul played the Dracapult. It was having a party. But those things aren't as common anymore, and they're running different sets now, so it doesn't work as well for Mandibuzz. And it's a solid okay check to Urshifu, but if it's a bulk up Urshifu, you're having a hard time as Mandibuzz breaking through that because foul play isn't really doing anything. So things evolve. I think that's part of it. Just because your mod was really good a month and a half ago doesn't mean it's any good anymore. Like my Togekiss, as much as I love my Togekiss, isn't as good anymore because teams aren't as stall heavy as they were. People are evolving past that play style, especially with Magearna now gone. There's less of five stall mons with one offensive option on teams. It's more bulky offense again. And that's not a good meta for Togekiss. And so as much as I don't want to do it, I probably have to drop my Togekiss and find a new option.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. So I think that's where we're going to go ahead and kind of wrap it up, put the little bow on it and say that's laddering. We hope you enjoyed that. It was a little bit different than our normal battle cast in a sense, where it was much more theoretical when we got to the topic. We're all looking forward to the new things that Crown Tundra bring, and you know, anything that might come after that, fingers crossed. I want Gliscor back. It's never coming back, but yeah, we'll find out. We will find out in time, but we're going to go ahead and call it there, and we will hop on over to a fun team of the episode that we found and we want to share with you guys. So we will be right back.
And now for the flavor of the month.
And we are back to the team of the episode. And do you remember when I talked about in OU that sun was better than rain now? Well, I wanted to revisit that, and we're going to be looking at a rain team that was actually created by Finchinator on YouTube. He's doing a little bit of a laddering YouTube series the past couple of days, and we saw it, we love it, and we wanted to review it here, and maybe, you know, go watch him ladder with it a little bit if you want to, or ladder with it yourself. It's a lot of fun. So go ahead and take us away, McGee.
Yeah, so it's a rain team, so very obviously you need to have a rain setter, and that, of course, is going to be Pelipper holding a damp rock. Usual EV spread of 248 HP, 252 defense, 8 special defense, relaxed nature. And then it's got minimal IV investment in speed. I'm not sure what it's trying to underspeed, but also outspeed. I'm not sure the benchmark on that one.
I'm not positive there either.
I get slow U-turn. That's a very logical thing. Having slow U-turn is valuable, but it needs to still outspeed something. I just don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And then it's like doing normal things. Hurricane, Roost, U-turn, Defog. So very traditional Pelipper. They're doing very traditional things. Obviously, keeping it alive and healthy throughout the game is, of course, an important part of your win condition. And then something that you do see, but not very often, that can exploit the rain really, really well is Heliolisk with a Life Orb. Dry Skin, 252 special attack, 252 speed, 4 defense, a timid nature. And then Heliolisk does great things. Along with your U-turn, you got a Volt Switch now, so you got 2 pivot users. Always great for continuing momentum. Hyper Voice for some solid stab and any potential subs, you can blast right through those. Focus Blast, again, for some of the steel types you might run into or some of the rock types. And then Thunder, which in rain is obviously going to be very effective and very powerful, and that 30% paralysis is never bad.
Mm-hmm. This is also a fantastic Toxapex switch in because it's got Dry Skin to absorb Scalds.
Oh, yeah.
A reminder, Dry Skin heals 12.5%. Life Orb takes 10. So you heal with Life Orb.
That is good to know. I remember when this was back in the Dracovish days, when people were trying to find odd counters to it because everyone was tired of Seismitoad. You would see things like Heliolisk with Dry Skin or Toxicroak with Dry Skin as like a weird offensive water absorber. But this is a much better role for a Heliosk than that. So Heliosk is doing much better here.
For sure. Take us through the next two, Shamu.
Okay, so next we have Ferrothorn with Choppleberry. Obviously Iron Barbs. Just max HP, max defense with a tad of special defense and then Impish Nature. It's fairly standard. This is standard, I assume. Stealth Rock Spikes, Knock Off, Power Whip, pretty much. Mm-hmm. It does Ferrothorn things.
Yep. Like, yep.
It does what a Ferrothorn does.
Yep, absolutely.
I assume Choppleberry's for, like, Urshifu and some other just fighting stuff, but again,
exactly,
it's nothing special.
I am a little surprised with its lack of healing. This team doesn't seem to have a lot of healing, and so that can obviously come back to bite it. Usually I see most Ferrothorns at least Leech Seed or leftovers, so that's right. A little different, but otherwise it's very standard, I think.
I think with the offensive nature of a rain team, you don't really have a lot of time to set up Leech Seeds. You would just want to go ahead and get your hazards down.
No, that's fair.
Which is why this 100%. Ferrothorn doesn't care too much about healing itself. It just wants to get those things down.
Very true.
And then they also have there's a Urshifu Rapid Strike with Choice Band, and max attack, max speed, touch of special defense with Jolly, Surging Strikes, Close Combat, Aqua Jet U-Turn. It's Urshifu.
It's Urshifu doing Urshifu.
It's Urshifu, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the panda doing panda things. It's just a little slimmer than the other panda.
Those three Surging Strikes in rain, though,
off
that attack. Whew.
Banded crit, three strike in rain with stab. Yikes.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt hard.
Yep. And so we're done with normal Pokemon. We want to go to the weird Pokemon. So next we've got Seismitoad holding a Life Orb. Fairly standard on rain teams to have the Swift Swim Seismitoad. Its EVs are 4 attack, 252 special attack, and 252 speed with a Rash nature. You are hearing this correctly. Moveset of Weather Ball, Earth Power, Hydro Pump, and... get ready for the Paprika Focus Punch. So the moves overall are pretty standard other than that last one. Weather Ball, Earth Power, Hydro Pump for, you know, just taking advantage of stabs. Weather Ball is for taking advantage of really accurate but also really powerful water moves, unlike Hydro Pump. So Focus Punch. If you see a Seismitoad, what do you switch into it? Your answer should be Ferrothorn. So if Seismitoad... on your switch into Ferrothorn, launches a Focus Punch, it will hit that Ferrothorn for super effective 150 base power fighting damage with a Life Orb. That's spice.
That hurts. That hurts.
That hurts a lot. That's probably enough to... it probably won't one-shot it because its attack is dismal, but...
No. There's also Chansey to consider, or Blissey. Also very reliable switch into Seismitoad. Not at all enjoying that Focus Punch.
Exactly, especially if they figure out that it's a special one. If they've seen you launch off a couple Earth Powers or Hydro Pumps to really just announce that you're a special attacker, Focus Punch it. Knock it out. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. So, that's spicy thing number one. Now, you remember how I said this a rain team? I do mean that. This is a rain team. We've got Volcarona with heavy duty boots because it's a Volcarona, and that's the item it runs now. Ability in Flame Body. 4 defense, 252 special attack, 252 speed with a modest nature, and the moveset of Quiver Dance, Fiery Dance, Hurricane, and the Paprika again, Rest. You heard me right. So Volcarona has become a weird Pokemon in the Gen 8 OU metagame. It kind of has to choose on its bulkier sets, like... am I going to roost? Or am I going to sub? Am I going to safeguard? That's now an option.
Oh my God.
How do I stop Toxapex and Ferrothorn? And that's the big problem that all rain teams have. Ferropex is very hard for a rain team to break. No longer. With this Volcarona specifically, it cracks through Ferropex extremely easily. Because the ways you stop a Volcarona are you... wall it with Toxapex and toxic it and let it slowly die while you haze away its boosts. Or, you know, I mean, that's pretty much the way to stop a Volcarona. Or PP stall it if you can, because it only has so many fire blasts. This solves all those problems while also allowing you to still fish for flame body burns off of weaker U-turns or something else like that. Rest keeps you from stalling and wasting away your power points. Hurricane is great in the rain to stop things that like to come in on rain teams. Grass types like Amoongus or whatever come to mind. Fiery Dance is still very good for breaking past opposing Ferrothorn, even in rain. And you might get a special attack boost. So this Volcarona is the glue that holds this rain team together in a weird way. So, yeah, that's the team.
I'm going to run with this one. I've been looking for a good rain team for a while. I've been watching some ladder games and like, I want to run that rain team, but I don't know the spread. So it's hard to just copy paste something you don't know. But now mm-hmm. I know everything about this team and I'm about to have a party.
Oh yeah. I absolutely am too. I'll see you on the ladder. But, yeah, it's great. It looks like so much, but that Volcarona is spicy as well as that Volset Seismitoad. And frankly, even the Healy list, like we can't stress that enough. That's a spicy tech right there as well. But take this team, run with it. There's a link in the description down below, and it's going to be a lot of fun. All the Puckalonians are going to be stealing this rain team and running through OU with it. We'll get Healy list OU by the end of the month, I swear. But that has been our episode. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. If you enjoyed this, there's other Puckley goodness that you can find other places. We've got, among the other things on this Puckle Plus feed, we've got the TCG cast, and we've got Trivia Rewinds and Game Corner. Those are all on this one, and usually every Thursday there's something new coming out. For the regular show, be sure to subscribe to the regular Puckle feed. That has a show coming out every Monday where we talk everything, really. Anything Pokemon related, not just specific topics like these ones here, TCG and video game stuff. If you like the show and want to support us, please, please, please join us on Discord. That's where everything happens. It's not necessarily directly supporting us, but it's where everything happens, where you can talk to people, get advice, get new friends, and all that kind of good stuff. As well as, you know, you can support us on Patreon. That gets you a couple rewards depending on the tier that you pick. And follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Twitch. We're doing a lot of Twitch content recently, and if you subscribe there, that helps us out a little bit as well. And all of the things that you donate to the Puckle Podcast goes right back into the community. It helps us get badges for the Summer League. It helps us get mics so you can actually understand us and we don't sound like we're underwater and things of that nature. It goes right back in. None of us make any kind of profit off of anything like that. And finally, yeah, I can't think of a finally. I've said everything. We hope to see you guys next month. It's coming closer. Crown Tundra is coming, which may well be the culmination of Sword and Shield. It may be the end. Who knows? We haven't seen a direct or anything. And, you know, we'll find out together. Who knows? Maybe the Diamond Pearl remakes will come out by then. But until next month, I have been Seth Vilo.
I guess I've been Shamu.
I'm the new one. I'm always last. I'm accustomed to
it. But you were introduced first.
Oh, Seth threw it off. It's his fault. I've been P. McGee, and I should be last.
You're terrible at owning this Battlecast, P. McGee. I revoke it from you and take it back for myself.
That's
so
fair.
Let it be written. I have spoken. And we'll see you guys next month on Battlecast.
Flip side.
again.
Hey, Seth, are you tilted?
A little bit. Like, in a general sense in life, absolutely. Even more so now, 100%.